Let's open with hymn number 566. Open thou my lips.
As my mouth shall show thy praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste, O Lord. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
For he is our Maker. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise.
We sing hymn 573. We read responsibly Psalm 104, found on page 146. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty.
Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment.
Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain.
Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters.
Who maketh the clouds his chariot. Who walketh upon the wings of the wind.
Who maketh his angels spirits.
His ministers of flaming fire.
Who laid the foundations of the earth.
That they should not be covered forever.
Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment.
The waters stood above the mountains.
At thy rebuke they fled.
At the voice of thy thunder, they hastened away.
They go up by the mountains.
They go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them.
Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over.
That they turn not again to trample the earth.
He sendeth the springs into the valleys.
To turn down the hills.
They give drink to every beast of the field.
The wild asses quench their thirst.
By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation,
which sing among the branches.
He watereth the hills from his chambers.
The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works.
He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle.
And herb for the service of man.
That he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man.
And oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen the man's heart.
The trees of the Lord are full of sap.
The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted.
Where the birds make their nests.
As for the stork, the fir trees are her house.
The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats.
And the rocks for the conies.
He appointed the moon for seasons.
The sun knoweth it is going down.
Thou makest darkness, and it is night.
Wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth.
The young lions roar after their prey.
And seek their meat from God.
The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together.
And lay them down in their dens.
Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor.
Until the evening.
O Lord, how manifold are thy works.
In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches.
So is this great and wide sea.
Wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts.
There go the ships, there is that Leviathan.
Whom thou hast made to play therein.
These all wait upon thee.
That thou mayest give them their meat in due season.
That thou givest them, they gather.
Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good.
Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled.
Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust.
Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created.
And thou renewest the face of the earth.
The glory of the Lord shall endure forever.
The Lord shall rejoice in his works.
He looketh upon the earth, and it trembleth.
He toucheth the hills, and they smoke.
I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praise to my God while I have my being.
My meditation of him shall be sweet.
I will be glad in the Lord.
Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more.
Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first lesson this morning is found in the second chapter of 1 Timothy, the 1st through the 8th verse. Therefore, I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Here ends our first lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our second lesson is found in the 17th chapter of Luke, the 11th through the 19th verse. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the middle of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Here ends our second lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
Our text this morning is found in the 17th chapter of Acts, the 22nd through the 31st verse. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life and breath to all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, and something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the devil long ago learned that one of the easiest ways to lead people away from the truth is to distract them, to provide so many attention-grabbing events and activities and change them up so often that mankind loses track of the creation which God has made, the gifts which he has given his creatures, the care which he shows them every day in preserving their lives and providing for their needs. Look at the world in which we live. And particularly, look at the modern pace of technology and political change and social upheaval. Even the simple things which God has created, the crops which provide our food, the land and the rivers, all these things which God made good, man now tries to recreate in his own corrupted image. Will man succeed in making the world better than God has created it? No, he can only make it worse. But his goal is not really to make it better, but to so completely cover or transform what God has made that few people know of his goodness. How much does the modern man know of seed time, planting, harvest, and threshing? We have lost our connection to God's good earth, to the soil which produces our crops, the animals which provide our meat and our milk. We get our food in prepackaged, sterilized plastic and cardboard containers, whose contents are no longer grown with care and love by farmers who know the ground they till, giving thanks to God for the fruits of the earth, but by impersonal corporations and factory farms who care nothing at all but for extracting as much from the soil as they can and putting as little back in as possible. It seems that the modern man has done as much as he can to forget the God who creates the good things of this earth for the benefit of man. God has become unknown because man, at Satan's prodding, has progressively hidden the works of God and in their place given us the sterile and artificial works of man. And the religion of man has followed the same scheme. As Christian church after Christian church has replaced the plain, clear doctrines of Holy Scripture with the ever-changing, constantly shifting theories and speculations and inventions of men. The hard truths of sin and the law of God, the precious and healing balm of the forgiveness of sins, these are too antiquated for them. But what does man invent to take their place? Are man's religious artifices any better? Has man succeeded in creating new virtues or better righteousness than God himself? Far from it. With each so-called new doctrinal development, man has obscured the Lord God who made heaven and earth. Even in the churches, God is fast becoming the unknown God. It is not so surprising that God should be unknown, because man, in his natural state, only knows that there is some God behind the scenes. But who he is, what his nature is, man does not know. Surely man would want to know the unknown God. The modern man has followed the foolish practice of taking the God who has made himself known and hiding him once more so that men might not see him or his works or have any reason to think about him. God is not unknown because he has not revealed himself, but because men have hidden him away, out of sight, out of mind, and replaced all that is called God with the imagination of man's hearts. That is truly Satan's masterpiece. But God will not stay hidden. For despite Satan's endless distractions and man's duplicity in creating them, God has preserved for himself a remnant who will not cease to make mention of his name in the earth and remind all men of the God who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Yes, God has called you and me, dear Christian friends, out from a distracted and artificial world and given us his own spirit so that we, a peculiar, particular people, God's own holy nation, might show the praises of him who called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Therefore, let us give thanks unto him, for the Lord God is worthy of all thanks and praise that we can give him. Let us give thanks unto him with our whole heart and mind and life and every word and deed, that all that we do may be filled with gratitude for him who in Christ Jesus has made us his own dear children, not by more artificial and worthless human works, but by the finished work of redemption which he has accomplished in Christ Jesus. And may our gratitude and thanksgiving not be hidden among men, because God has revealed himself openly to us, let us openly declare our thanksgiving and gratitude for the wonderful works of our Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God, who gives life and breath to every creature. When Paul preached at Athens, he saw that in that city there was an altar which was dedicated to the worship of the unknown God. Here was a people who, despite all their endless pantheons of gods, which were nothing really more than the ancestors of old exalted to the status of divine, nevertheless, they knew that their gods were inventions that could never account for the gift of life itself. The many gods they could name were nothing but men who grew into myths. Their gods were creations. They were worshiping creations rather than the Creator. But who was the Creator? They did not know, or truth be told, they had spent their generations trying not to remember. Their countless petty gods of wine and grain, fish and fields, storms and seasons, and every emotion or virtue that you could name, and every vice as well, had replaced the Lord God. Yet they still erected an altar to the unknown God, because their conscience continued to bear witness of Him. Thanks be to God that we know this God. We know the true God of nature, who with but a word called this world into being, and with a few words in 6 days made a good creation, which to this day feeds billions of souls on this planet and provides food and clothing, water and shelter for them. When He made the world, He gave life and breath to every creature. And that life continues on, and it shall continue until He brings this world to an end. Of what work can man boast of which he can say that it will continue on until the end of time? But of all the creatures which God has made, man is the crown jewel of them all. For to no creature but to man did God give dominion over the earth. Yes, men have made a mess of it since the fall. They have no wisdom truly to rule over this world and to care for what God has made. But nevertheless, it was for man that this world was made. Let us give thanks unto the God who made man and gave him a rational soul. We truly are fearfully and wonderfully made, though how often we take even our own existence for granted. Let us give thanks unto the God who created boundaries around man. He set the length of our days upon the earth. He placed limits on our abilities and powers. And we should be thankful that God has so limited us, because God has ordained that by limiting us, we would learn that we are not the measure of all things. We are mighty and powerful of all of God's creatures, but we are not all powerful. Hurricane and flood, fire and earthquake easily overwhelm us and undo all the building that we have done. And in the end, we must face the end of our days. And despite all of our strivings, we cannot overcome death. Why has God limited us in this way, and why should we be thankful for it? So that we would never be satisfied with what we are by nature, but would be driven to seek after the Lord God who made heaven and earth, a God who is far greater in majesty and power than we will ever be. He who created all things surely has the power over death itself, for He is the one who granted life in the first place. Thus men grope after the God who made all things, seeking Him out, even though He is not far from any one of us. Indeed, let us give thanks unto the Lord who gives us the promise that all who seek Him will find Him, if indeed they seek Him with all their heart. And what does it mean to seek God in truth and with all their heart? It means nothing else to acknowledge our own weakness and frailty, our utter inability to transcend sin and death. To seek the true God, we must first recognize that man has no answers. All of our lofty works will decay to dust. What will we have to show God in the end? Nothing. We bring nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. But to those who have nothing, God reveals his desire that all men be made rich, saved from death and destruction, and given the riches of eternal life, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The providence of God should teach men that their Creator is a loving God. He wants to give them help and nourishment. He who gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, even to those who hate him and despise him, surely wishes their spiritual good also. If God had remained unknown, this hope of finding the true God would be useless. But he has revealed himself, and not just in his wrath and anger, but as the God who saves. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God, who calls us out of the ignorance of idolatry and reveals to us his nature and person. He is not unknown. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Which is to say, he is the God who gave promises of life and salvation to sinful men. Through Abraham's seed, all the families of the earth are blessed. To Moses, he gave his holy law, which with much thunder and lightning, so that we might learn the true wretchedness and wickedness of the human heart, and fear the wrath of God against all unrighteousness. And with this revelation of his holy nature, he calls all men to repentance so that they might escape the just reward of their sin. And let us give thanks unto the Lord our God, who reveals to man the righteousness of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. This is Abraham's seed, who brings blessing and salvation to all men. He answers the thunder of Mount Sinai by bearing all the punishment which God's demands must be poured out against all unrighteousness. In Jesus Christ, God is at last fully revealed to men. He is unveiled so that all may approach him and see him, and the sight is glorious. He is not an unknown God who must be placated with endless human sacrifices of blood or works. He is a God of grace and mercy, who provides the very sacrifice that we need to atone for our sins. He answers man's thirst for righteousness by providing his own righteousness to them by faith. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God, who shall finally judge this world in righteousness by that man Jesus Christ, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. He has not left us in doubt as to the power and nature of our Lord Jesus Christ, but in his greatest act of revelation, he raised him up from the dead, so that he might be exalted above all creation. Even now our gracious and merciful Lord Jesus reigns over all. He assures even still that morning and evening, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, each follow in their course. And in due time he brings in the harvest, not only of fruit and vegetable and grain, but the harvest of our souls. He sends out laborers into his harvest who declare to all men the wondrous gospel that God in Christ Jesus has reconciled the world unto himself. And with this gospel, he gathers us like ripe grain into the sheaves of his holy Christian church, ready for the gathering on the last day where we will be taken into the heavenly garner. Let us indeed give thanks unto the Lord our God, and not forget all of his benefits. He is not hidden. His will is not unknown. For life and breath, for limiting the days and powers of man, for his holy law which reveals our sin, for the forgiveness of sins made ours by the death of his Son, for our risen Lord Jesus, our only Savior and King. May we thank and praise him while we have breath and life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Te Deum.
See, O God, we acknowledge thee to be the Lord. All the earth doth worship thee, the Father, everlasting. To thee all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To thee cherubim and seraphim continually do cry. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of thy glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise thee. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise thee. The noble army of martyrs praise thee. The Holy Church throughout all the world doth acknowledge thee. The Father of an infinite majesty, thine adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, our Comforter. Thou art the King of glory, O Christ. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. When thou tookest upon thee to deliver man, thou didst humble thyself to be born of a virgin. When thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Thou sittest at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that thou shalt come to be our judge. We therefore pray thee help thy servants whom thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood. Make them to be numbered with thy saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save thy people and bless thine heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify thee, and we worship thy name ever, world without end. Thou dost say, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Pray. Praise, glory, and thanks be unto thee, Heavenly Father, for the manifold blessings which thou hast bestowed upon us during this year. Thou didst give us the early and the latter rain in due season, so that the earth brought forth its precious grain for the maintenance of man. Thou didst shield and guard us against all dangers that surrounded us by night and by day. Thou didst hold thine almighty hand over us so that no evil came near our dwelling. Thou didst keep us by the Spirit in the true faith in thy beloved Son. Innumerable, O Lord, are the gifts of thy loving kindness towards us. Accept our humble thanks for all these things. We are not worthy of all the mercies that thou hast bestowed upon us. What shall we give in return? All that we are and have accepted, O God, unto the praise and glory now and forever, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, for our Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.